Welcome to the Penny Mart House. I'm Jade.
I'm Paul.
Yeah, I'm Christopher.
Welcome. Brown. Welcome, Brown. One and all. Welcome.
And today we're talking about beasts of Great Britain.
The greatest beasts of them all.
Best beasts in the world.
Of course. So we're looking into cryptozoology, which is the study of hidden animals or cryptids. Ooh. So they're animals who are extinct or lack physical evidence, but they appear in myths and legends, and basically people bollock on about them and make shit up. Right, are we going to start with Scotland and move down?
Yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, we're looking at like we said, the mythical beasts and the urban legends and that everybody knows and has heard. And I think us British have some of the finer mythical beasts.
I would say so.
And I think that they're not all mythical, having done some research.
Oh, are you a believer?
I'm no. Certainly in the beast that I researched in a bit of depth.
So we're starting at the top, we're working our way down.
Yeah. What beasts have we got? Obviously this isn't a comprehensive guide. We've just picked some of our favourite beasts to talk about. Yeah. So what have we got for Scotland? Who should we start with?
I think we must say we're post election as well.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah, they chose to
stick
with
us. We almost had to cut all this out.
Yeah.
So Nessie was almost moving to Windermere.
I know, yeah. It was nearly born, Nessie. But so I've been looking at the Loch Ness Monster.
Excellent.
In some
hick hey honey, old Nessie.
I got into some depth. Very moist.
Pardon.
It was a wet and wild adventure. So would you like me to start on?
Yes, come on, give us a bit on Nessie. When was the first sighting?
Well, just before we get into that, I think just to give it a bit of scale and a bit of context. Right, the Loch Ness Monster lives in Loch Ness. But how big is Loch Ness? Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
Because this is really key to it, I think, is there's more water in Loch Ness than all the other lakes in England, Scotland and Wales put together.
Editor's note. Paul went on to talk about the Loch Ness Monster for 40 minutes. 40 minutes. We were told of sightings, what Nessie looks like, how people have obsessed over him or her. It was very detailed. I'll sum up for you. The Loch Ness Monster is a turd-like beast who lives in a loch in Scotland. He or she has achieved little of consequence. I'll drop you back in when we start talking about jizz. You're welcome.
One of the ways they've tried to coax it out is by having a sex cocktail for Nessie. And this was made from the reproductive essence of sea creatures such as sea cows, eels, sea lions.
Good idea.
Now, yeah. When you say reproductive essence, does that mean cum?
Spunk.
Spunk in a box.
And phoniacal juices.
So it was like a marine burka party.
What's a burka party?
Explain.
A burka party is when they all jizz in a...
What?
Have you ever... Burka party.
Are you saying burka is in the garment worn
no,
by...
is it burka or... Oh, no, bukkake.
Bukkake. Burka, bukkake.
Although a burka would be a good protection for a burka party.
I'm much clearer on what you mean now.
It'd improve your aim
as
well.
So what is a bukkake party? Because the closest I've ever got is a game of sticky biscuit.
You want to, and listener, this applies to you too, if you've not looked that up, Google image that immediately.
Yeah.
You'll have a nice time. The Japanese, I believe, invented it.
Did they?
Yeah. You want to just look that up. Let's not go into it. Look that up.
Yeah, just check it out.
Don't put it on our bloody Facebook page, though.
So they must have got all the marine life together for a...
Yeah. So basically, they wank a load of big mammals off that live in the sea and fish. Threw it in Loch Ness, hoping to draw the mythical beast to the surface. Conclusion is...
We'll say that the Loch Ness Monster is real.
Yeah, it's real.
Here... I conclude my argument.
Expect to see it in SeaWorld in the near future.
Yeah. And listeners, if you want a more in-depth podcast on Loch Ness, trust me, I could have gone on for hours.
Paul's printed off the Encarta of Loch Ness.
Well, I did, and to finish off on the Loch Ness Monster, I watched The Family Nest this morning. So there you go, I've covered all angles.
Does he have a Scottish accent in the family nest?
No, I'll just shut up and make knob gags.
Yay!
You've just reminded me as well, talking about Nessie. I don't know if either of you two referred to it or have seen it, but Dom Jolly has a really, really good book that listeners, you might be interested in as well. I read it and it's great. It's called Scary Monsters and Super Creeps in Search of the World's Most Dangerous Beasts.
Ooh.
And I'm not just plugging you because I like you, Dom Jolly, even though you are funny. And you should definitely listen to our podcast. But yeah, listeners, give that a go. You probably like that. It's interesting.
Is Dom Jolly that annoying fucking comic?
Anyway...
So, from Loch Ness on to our second Scottish beast.
Please.
Now, mine is definitely a lot more mythical. It is the Big Grey Man of Ben McDuey, also known as... Anybody want to try and pronounce that?
I sense a different style of presenting.
This will be a lot less factual. I've got two sentences on it.
Oh, really?
I've got that it makes people very uneasy, but it might be a ghost,
yes,
or it might be a big...
man with her.
Well, oh, I think I've put it might be a bit like Bigfoot, as in like a
yes,
beast.
Yes, well, I've got
quite...
that it's definitely the Scottish equivalent of the Yeti of the Himalayas,
yeah,
or the Sasquatch or Bigfoot, they're off America. Basically, he's said to be more of a presence, or a presence of a creature. Like, for a, open your bloody can!
We're not drinking!
It's pop. Pop and crisp night.
But basically, the Big Grey Man of Ben McDuey, the second largest summit in Britain after Ben Nevis, is reported to lurk around the summit of the mountain and around the surrounding areas.
How big is he?
Oh, he's fucking massive.
This is my style. This is what I like. Massive. I don't want it in feet. Massive.
No, the reports are that... It's not necessarily the sighting, but there's various reports of irrational panic and suddenly feeling a presence. In October 1943, this comes from Alexander Twenyan. He was also a regarded mountaineer, so you know he was no fool. Now this is what Alexander Twenet had to say. In October 1943, I spent 10 days leave climbing alone in the Carrigmores. One afternoon, just after I reached the summit of Crown of Ben McDuey, mist swirled around me. The envelope of the mountains, then the atmosphere became dark and oppressive. A fierce, bitter wind whisked amongst the boulders, and an odd sound echoed through the mist. A loud footstep, it seemed, then another. A strange shape loomed over me, receding, it came at me. Without hesitation, I whipped out my revolver and fired it 3 times at the figure. When it came on, I turned... When it came on, I just turned and I hurled down the path, reaching Glendary in time that I had never bettered. So he'd never done it any faster.
Was he actually timing it?
Well, you may ask, was it really the Grey Man of McDuey? Frankly, I think it was.
So where does the Grey Man come from?
Well,
I hope he had a license for that firearm.
Well, it was 1943,
yeah,
so
it's not America.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But scientists looking into it recently, not recently, but you know, the myth obviously grows and everybody's good. They've done some experiments at the top, and apparently at the summit, if it's very, if there's a lot of fog around, and the sunlight's positioned in the right area, you can actually have your own shadow reflecting back at yourself.
That makes sense.
And it would, as you walk forward, it would seem like your shadow is walking towards you.
Bollocks. Come on.
Ever the sceptic of science.
Who's ever known a shadow to walk towards?
So are we going with true?
Are we going
with
true?
It exists.
The Grey Man, I don't think it was his shadow. I think they're all scared of their own shadow, these
Draw the Witness is Scottish.
Yes.
False.
Pissed. Drunk. Pissed.
See, that's it. With Loch Ness Monster, many witnesses from all around the world. Definitely real.
The Beast of Glamis Castle, which I believe is pronounced Glams.
Glams.
Glams. I don't know whether to go for just my own phonetic pronunciation or whether
I have big hopes for your Scottish accent on this episode, Jade.
It's spelled G-L-A-M-I-S, the Beast of Glams Castle. I'll start with a quote from Claude Bowes Lyon, 13th Earl of Strathmore. If you could ever guess the nature of this castle's secret, you would get down on your knees and thank God it was not yours. It's mentioned in Macbeth, actually, calling back to our witches episode. Macbeth was the tame of Glamis. Glams. Who knows? In 1034, the Scottish king Malcolm II died there, possibly murdered, so it has a bit of a dark history. Mm. And it's the seat of the Strathmore Earls. Now, this castle is rumoured to have a secret room, which wouldn't be that unusual.
A bit like Rose's room.
A bit like Rose's room, yeah. It wouldn't be that unusual for the time, you know, it's a violent age and...
Well, they had, like, little hidey holes.
Yeah, you need to be able to... You need to be able to hide people away as and when is necessary. Yeah. But this is a special secret room because it's rumoured to hold a very secret and special occupant.
Ooh.
This is a bit of a Man in the Iron Mask type story because it could potentially be the rightful heir to the title and the property, but, well... It's possibly the 11th Earl's first son, because he married a lady called Charlotte Grimstead in 1820, and they had a son together.
And they locked him away?
Well, he was born and died on the 21st of October 1821.
Right.
Now, some people think that this boy was born a monster.
Ooh.
Horrendously deformed.
Disfigured.
I love olden day disfigurants.
Yeah.
You have to hide away. Yeah. He's fucking Braveheart.
Been described as toad-like, this monster, a hideous, hideous beast. And this family haven't always been kind to children who were born different. Like, after World War One, Catherine and Nerissa Bowes Lyon, who were cousins of our Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, they were mentally disabled when they were born.
Oh, no, God.
It's all... You might as well be royal as Biff from bloody Pendle, because it's like, who am I having sex with? My sister... My cousin, my brother, and it's all inbreeding, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they spent their lives locked away in various institutions, you know, completely ignored by the family.
Hidden from public eye.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be that massive of a leap to think that maybe some kind of disabled or malformed child had been hidden in this secret room. And the family take it very seriously. They don't like to discuss it. So, whether or not there was a Beast of Glam's Castle or not, up for debate, but maybe leaning towards yes, because that's a more fun answer.
Yay! So, we prefer that it was a beast rather than a human.
Rather than not... someone locked in a dungeon against their will.
Mm. It's haunted by...
It's like Goonies!
It is a bit like
Goonies. Hey, you guys! Roo? Roo? Baby Roo?
Carry on.
I was just going to say, it's an interesting castle.
Sloth.
Sloth.
It's an interesting castle anyway. It's haunted by all different ghosts.
And sloth.
Sloth.
Sloth. Love. Junk.
So what are we going
junk,
for?
Love, sloth.
Real, not real.
Oh, definitely real.
Real.
Definitely real.
Real, but maybe not a monster. Maybe,
maybe
it's a person.
Just a...
An unfortunate.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to...
I think we should move south now, shouldn't we?
Shall we go to Wales?
Bore da, flindia, sut y doch chi bore ma, da iawn diolch.
It's Spanish.
It wasn't Spanish. Fluent in Welsh.
I was just trying to get out boyo. All that time I was thinking, how do I say boyo?
There's only one word I can say that sounds Welsh. Ambulance. I've got very little on Wales, to be honest, and I assume that you two haven't got anything.
No.
For y'all.
The only thing
balls to the Welsh.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, they've got the Beast of Bont, but we'll bring that in later. I think when we talk
well,
about.
I think when you talk about the Welsh, they're all beasts. So.
We'll bring that in later when we talk about phantom cats. But the only thing I got was winged serpents. They have a big problem with that. Well,
ooh.
They did.
So it's windy.
What, on snakes are just being blown into the air? Well, they're quite a nice beast. They're described as very beautiful, bejewelled, and all colours of the rainbow with peacock-like wings.
Oh, it sounds lovely.
But they're quite violent.
Oh.
And we don't have them anymore. They're possibly extinct because...
Possibly.
They're extinct because they never existed.
Well, they were as bad for killing poultry as foxes. They were seen as a pest,
right,
so...
Right, wait a minute.
I like
it.
Rewind.
So it's a snake with wings.
Yes, very beautiful.
Multicolored, but they only come when it's windy.
No, you've made that up.
Right, okay.
We all know.
I thought they were wind serpents.
We all know.
Winged.
Ah, there we go.
We all know that anything that lives in England is a shitty brown colour. The only reason peacocks are beautiful is because they're originally from India. You don't get beautiful creatures in England. Everything is between a sort of yellowish shit brown and greeny shit brown.
You're in
your... That's it.
Well, we could have had a beautiful serpent, but we probably bashed all their heads in. That's the end of the story, basically. It's quite
sad. Eating chickens.
I'm trying to think of a colourful one. Pigs are like pinky.
No, they're not colourful, are they? They're just skin colour. There is none. You can't think of any because there's none.
Is that it? Is that all we've got for Wales?
Yeah, sorry, Wales. We've got any... Sorry, I've got chips in my mouth.
I mean, what, dragons? Jesus, dragons! And we've completely bypassed Wales.
If we have any...
It's on the fucking flag, for God's sake.
If we've got any Welsh listeners, please email us at thepennymorthouse@gmail.com. Facebook us, search Penny Morthouse. Get in contact, tweet us. Chris is doing some great work on the Twitter, aren't you?
Yeah.
Chris is handling Twitter, I'm doing Facebook. Paul, I'll give you his mobile number if you message me. Just let us know, get in touch. If you've got any beasts, then please
let us know. We're going to have to go, I'm sorry, back to Scotland, because we've not covered griffins.
Jesus Christ.
What was that book about griffins? The griffin was in the book. The green griffin.
No idea.
No idea.
I'll come back to you.
I asked if you had any more Scottish beasts.
You've had your chance.
Yeah. I spent my whole time looking at the Loch Ness Monster because it's the most famous fucking monster in the whole wide world.
Yeah, and it's
which
boring.
Which means it the biggest.
All it does
topic.
Is hang about in the water.
It just bobs around like a turd.
It's killed somebody. And I did forget to
kill anybody.
It has, it killed.
Do you know what? I'm retracting. It doesn't fucking exist.
It killed someone in 565 AD, and it's also blamed for the death of John Cobb, who was going for the water speed record on the Loch Ness, and his boat was travelling at hundreds of miles an hour, and then it mysteriously crashed, and they say it's because it hit the back of the beast.
My arse. Or Ness's arse, maybe.
Are we going to England or are we going back to bloody Scotland?
England. We're going to England.
We've seriously shown ourselves up with our lack of griffin and dragon research.
We're going to England. Where I'm going to start with covering the Beast of Bodmin Moor.
Oh,
which this kind of intrigues me anyway. Just the big cats.
Yeah, phantom cats.
Phantom cats, I mean, that's...
Explain a bit of that for the listeners.
Is it like my black pussy from last week?
Yeah, actually, I think that would fall under the category.
Yeah, maybe it was one of the big cats that roam our countrysides. I mean, there's been mainly the sightings restricted to, like, the Norfolk areas, Devon, the origins of... Bodmin Moor, but then again there are many sightings up in Scotland. There's even some sightings in Lancashire.
Oh really?
I've got a few of the sightings here, but considering the
there was
extent
quite a flurry of
Nessie,
sightings
might not get there.
Quite a flurry of sightings of big black pussies in the 1970s.
Well, to be fair, in July 1976 saw the introduction of the Dangerous Wild Animals Act, and this was because it had become quite popular in the 60s and 70s for people to keep exotic animals, big black pussies.
Well, like they bought from Harrods.
Yeah, well, like that lovely
lion.
Well,
you can imagine, if you imagine, what's he called?
Who? Mohammed Al-Fayed.
If you can imagine the 70s and 60s era.
Who am I imagining? Michael Jackson.
No, the film, Mike Myers.
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, yeah. You can imagine the Austin Powers kind of era, you know, the swinging 60s and the 70s. Yeah, I imagine it'd be quite cool to have a couple of, you know, if you're a...
Sexy Panthers.
Yeah, sexy Panthers. And everybody's having the sex games.
That is exactly what the 60s were like for everyone in Britain.
Yeah, there was no living in shit
but in,
at all.
In 1976, obviously it was escalating, it was getting out of hand. So the government brought in the Dangerous Wild Animals Act.
Boo.
Which, because there was no regulation at all. You could, if you had... knew the right people in the right places, you could buy a puma. You could
actually
buy a puma.
I was speaking to my grandma this weekend, and she said that I think in the 30s or 40s, she'd gone to a stall in Manchester to buy a monkey. This stall just had monkeys. And they didn't have any in that week, and she went home gutted, so she didn't get a monkey.
She just went to buy a monkey.
But if there had been a monkey there, she would have bought it.
You see?
Crazy.
And then the dangerous, well, the Wild Animals Act would have been brought in, and she'd have had to release it into the Rivington countryside.
Mm.
I want a monkey.
Scratch your bloody eyes out.
So the regulations got brought in 76, so there was obviously more regulation on who could keep them, how you had to keep them, you had to have insurance. Yeah, exactly.
Boring.
So the theory is that in 76, a lot of these wild cats were released into the wild.
What, because they couldn't be bothered getting rid of them properly?
Yeah. It was just like,
too expensive.
What's the easiest thing to do? Pop it
run,
in.
Run,
put,
run.
Put it in back at van. Drive up to the nearest. Because I imagine a few of them were in London and what have you. So they drive out to the nearest countryside, you know, the countrysides of Devon and whatnot. They drive out to the countrysides and just release them. And that's some of the theory around where some of the big cats
came from.
There was a kill. The earliest reported is a kill of a Canadian lynx. In 1903. The Canadian lynx was shot in Devon by a farmer, again back to Devon, after it killed two of his dogs.
Oh, are my dogs have gone missing.
Oh! Yeah!
Excellent impression, Chris. Yes.
Right, I'm just going to scan over the general. In 1980, there was a puma captured in Inverness in Scotland. After several sightings, and it was placed in a zoo and called Felicity.
Ooh,
but after some inspection, it was deemed that it was, like we said, an abandoned pet because of its teeth weren't as worn down as what a wild cat would be. There's been 60 sightings since 1983 of large cats in the area of Bodmin and Exmoor. And after a surge in sightings in 88... the government actually sent out Royal Marines to carry out a massive search.
I love that.
So they actually took it serious
for a short time.
But there seems to be...
The Marines, not even the regular army.
No, the Marines went out.
A Marine?
And several Marines claimed to have seen a big cat, but nothing more than a large fox was caught. So they obviously didn't get the
fucking fox.
A large fox.
But if several Marines are saying that they saw it, they obviously didn't get the order of shoot on sight.
I know, yeah. Well, and just to say, when I brought up, again, reputable eyewitnesses, you poo-pooed my idea. And all of a sudden, it's okay.
Chris, can I ask you? I didn't really do a lot of research on this, but I did get that in 1515, 24 people were slaughtered in a jail by a mysterious beast. Do you have anything on that?
I do not.
Hmm.
Well, sounds like... When was it? 1515?
Yeah.
Well, it's obviously a reliable account.
Yeah.
I think that was by a cat of some kind. We'll have to look at that, maybe post that on Facebook.
We'll
do a follow-up on that. Hmm.
But what I'm going to do is... We're going to go straight into some of the accounts of the beast of Bodmin Moor. It was a cruel but clean death. She died of a broken neck. Her stomach was ripped from her sternum to leg, but the telltale signs were four long scratch marks, which Rosemary Rhodes thinks identifies the killer of her ewe, the Beast of Bodmin Moor. There's loads of accounts on Bodmin Moor and the Exmoor Moor, but I've been looking at the actual residents around Bodmin and the Moor area. Yeah. Yeah, there's been loads of sightings and accounts around bobbing it out. I think there's a real strong belief in the area about the existence of the beast of Bodmin Moor, specifically from the farming community.
Yeah.
Well, they're just sick of having the sheep ripped
off. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, well, you know, I mean, although sex can get quite rough, can't it?
Now, the government, after numerous accounts recently, said, right, we're going to do something about it. And they put £8,200 to one side for some research to be done in the area by one government official.
Catwatch.
Yeah. There's a farmer who, apparently it's not enough though, because some of the farmers, Mr. John Goodenough. John Goodenough.
So it is good enough.
It's not good enough.
I'm annoying it. I'm confused.
It's not good enough for John Goodenough. A farmer and expert. And he's quoted as saying, you'll know when the beast is there. There'll be no rabbits, no foxes about, and the birds will stop singing. That's the call for caution. And the way they kill, you see, if it's a dog, there's wool and trouble everywhere. A cat goes in, kills and eats. Very little mess. And Mrs. Rose is a neighbouring farm. Its eyes are great yellow orbs. I don't know why she's got a man's voice.
You know what they're like down there.
Well, farmers, you know, they're not the most
her
feminine,
eyes,
are they?
Its eyes are great yellow orbs. And it's a foul scream, like a woman, but 100 times magnified. I don't know why she's Irish either. We set off to the National Sound Archives for a puma mating call. And when we heard the tape, oh, we fell about, because that's what we heard through the kitchen window.
I've often...
So they're doing the research.
Excuse me.
She also claims to have captured video footage, which she sent off to the government to be analysed.
She's a fucking nutter.
Yeah, I
reckon
so.
She's a botherer.
But this is what she says about sending the footage off. Nobody will tell me what they found out. If it was a cow, they'd say so, wouldn't they?
A cow?
I think it's been suppressed. Recently, there was a research done into the carcasses of animals found on the moor,
mm-hmm.
Which Royal Agricultural University in Chichester, where they spent...
Chichester.
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 I prefer Chichester.
Is that where Chinnyrick On lives?
Chinnyrick On Chichester.
It's where Jimmy Hill lives.
But they spent 2 years examining the animal skeletons which bore unusual teeth marks. His study found that in over a quarter of the cases, the tooth pits... that were made were by teeth larger than any of those living in the British.
I watched a documentary on this beast of Bodmin Moor.
And
basically, there were like some Fruit Loop guy who said it's real, and he collected all these bits of her and shit that he'd found at the scene of a molestation.
Do you mean literally shit?
Yeah.
Right.
And he sent off the poo and the bits of fur for analysis at a lab, and he was convinced it was going to prove unequivocally the beast of Bodmin Moor existed. And when it came back, there was 4 her samples. I think one was a deer, one was a dog, one was a pig. It's basically no chance.
But recently, there was evidence that surfaced to maybe prove the existence of the beast of Bodmin Moor.
Ooh.
As a 14-year-old boy discovered a skull with large fangs in the River Fowey on Bodmin Moor. So this is like, whoa, we've found a skull of the possible beast of Bodmin Moor. The possible proof
that, it's
that
real.
Big cats really do survive mm-hmm. in the English countryside. So the skull was sent off and examined by the Natural History Museum in London. And it was discovered to be that of a leopard. So again... We're
on the verge.
We're on the verge of, well, on first reaction, we have proved that there are wild cats running wild on Bodmin Moor, which, you know, the leopards native to Asia and Africa and the Middle East and stuff. But, however, on closer inspection, there was insect eggs found inside the skull.
Insect eggs?
Yeah. So
yeah, but that could be like a fly or something.
Well, yeah. But on closer examination, again, these insect eggs were found to be of cockroaches. Cockroaches that would find it impossible to survive within the wet and damp conditions of
Boo.
So where was this skull originate from, I hear you ask?
Where would this skull originate from, Chris?
A leopard skin rug.
Oh, God.
And someone had chucked into the river in well, yeah, probably in a view to amplify.
Stop littering.
I imagine it was put there. It was maybe even...
Yeah, it's biological, little rock.
It had maybe even been dissected from the rug and planted
chopped
there
it up,
to
yeah.
magnify the legend of the beast of Bodmin Moor. So, conclusion on the beast?
I think there really have been cats roaming about, obviously, because of these released pets and everything. So, I'm going to say true.
True.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say beast of Bodmin Moor as one individual beast.
Yeah.
Not true. Big cats molesting sheep. That's something I watch on the internet.
With Velcro gloves.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. Another English beast. I'm the rap man. South End on Sea.
Ooh!
Which sounds a bit backwards anyway.
It does.
It sounds to me like it might have white, really shiny white teeth and a suntan.
Right, Chris, you've also done about the Ratman, haven't you?
I've looked into the Ratman, yes.
Yeah, he lives there.
There's two myths for the Ratman.
Yeah, I got two different myths.
Oh, to me, the Ratman is just a bloke who kills rats.
Yeah.
Rather than a scary mythical beast.
He's a rat that kills man.
So it's Charlie a man who's
Kelly
a rat.
On Always
a man.
Sunny.
Well, please, divulge. You shall.
He lives in or around an underpass.
Yeah, so
if you've got anything that contradicts my information,
No. So it's a fairly modern urban legend because obviously it's set within the underpass under the, I'm presuming, a joke.
Yeah, if you Google image that listener, then you can get some
good
pictures
up.
The
Ratman of South on Sea.
Yeah.
So is a Ratman created?
Well, the most common story is that he's a tramp who slept in the underpass. And he was beaten to death by unruly teens.
Yes, I read that.
These bloody teens.
Hoods up, cider in hand.
And then his corpse was left under this underpass and all the vermin came to nibble at him.
Yeah, all the rats at him.
Yeah.
And then he came alive.
And became... So
well, the I think the legend is that his spirit...
Yeah, that's
still,
more of a ghostly...
Yeah, it's more of a...
See, I have trouble with these modern myths.
Well, no, you see, this is where... I think you'd pass this off as a ghost story if it wasn't for the other side of the tale.
Yeah, the other story's a bit more...
The other side of his tale?
Yeah. People report hearing squealing and scraping noises. It comes out at night. I live right next to an underpass and I have to go through one to go home, so this is lovely.
I imagine that's like a hot spot for rapes, underpasses.
Yeah, I've always been safe.
It's a tramp's haven.
I once saw a fight between a tramp and a boy, but that's about it.
Who won?
Well, the police got called and the boy ran away.
Boom.
No, but the tramp was being a dick.
Really?
I mean, the boy was... Anyway, we're going off topic. It was right next to a Chinese fireworks factory, actually, and there's always people drinking like... what's it called? That English...
What makes a firework a Chinese firework? Because I would have thought that it meant that it was manufactured in China.
Well, they're all from China, aren't they? They invented it.
Yeah, but...
The building has one of those special Chinese arched roofs. The other story is the Ratman is a mutant and he was abandoned for being a girl. It's a bit like the Glam's Castle one again. He was abandoned for being so grotesque and horrifying.
Well, wasn't he the bastard child of the local mayor?
Yes, I've heard so.
Yeah.
Do we have a name on that mayor? Or is
I
this
don't,
a...
I don't have
mayor
a name
bastard.
On it. But apparently he had a bastard son who was disfigured.
Bastard.
Rat-like.
And everyone knows you leave disfigured children under the underpass.
Cast them aside. You cast them aside.
Where do you want to move on to next? Owl Man?
The Owl Man.
If it's the same as the Rat Man, then no.
So, so we're not at a conclusion on the Owl Man.
On the Rat Man.
On the Rat Man, sorry.
True.
Bollocks.
I'm going to go bollocks on that one, sorry.
Unless it was made in a lab. Or a bit like Catwoman in Batman. What happens to her? The cats nibble at her, don't they?
I don't know, but I've seen that fucking Halle Berry film and that was enough for me.
No, that was a terrible version.
She kept going...
He was a black pussy.
Call no, there was nothing actually. I don't think there was anything genetically with Catwoman.
Are you our moral compass, Jade?
I am. People feel safe around me. You fuckers.
Anyway, the Owl Man, which obviously.
What?
The Owl Man. Who dates back to April 1976.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
In Cornwall.
In Cornwall, yes. That's a fucking wood pigeon.
I will murder you.
It's a wood pigeon, anyway.
Is he a barn owl?
It's got a piece of string coming out of your ear.
It's a piece of metal.
I'm transforming to a rat, man. Is he a barn owl? A tawny
right.
owl?
In April 7th, you'll find out now.
Eagle owl.
On April the 17th, 1976, there was a family camping in the Cornwall area with two daughters, 12-year-old June and her 9-year-old sister May.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was Vicky. I'm sorry.
I got Bob. Oh, no. Cut that.
May and June? That's a fucking month.
That's why I said it.
Start that again.
Was a sister there, September?
With two daughters, 12-year-old June and 9-year-old sister Vicky. As they were walking through the woods near Moorhorn Church, they saw a large winged creature hovering above the church tower. The girls were frightened and immediately ran to tell their father. According to the Mellons family,
Daddy,
they have become so protruded by the sighting that they had abandoned their holiday 3 days early.
They came from Lancaster.
I know, they come from Lancaster and it was so distressing, they left their caravan holiday in Cornwall. It must have been a terrifying sight.
Yeah, the reason we know about that is they contacted the paranormal researcher Tony Doc Shields. So he sort of conveyed that story along, didn't he?
And what did it turn out to be?
Well, 2 months later, have you got that?
Yes, go on.
Yeah. Well, two teenage girls were camping in the same area around this church, and Barbara Perry heard a hissing noise outside a tent, and she also saw...
In case you don't know what a hissing sound is.
And she also saw the...
Turn gas off!
He's described as having red eyes, silvery grey, and pincer-like claws. And he's seen quite a lot around that church. I don't know what that church is.
Red eyes.
Nothing particularly special, is it? But
red eyes.
Red eyes, silvery grey coat, and pincer-like claws. But it's funny, because did you say an eagle owl before?
Yeah.
Because that's the possible explanation.
Yeah, I know. Because in 1995, a female tourist from Chicago... also claimed to have seen the Birdman, with its glassy face, wide mouth, glowing eyes and pointed ears, as well as clawed wings.
Maybe it was just a parishioner.
Maybe it was a pterodactyl.
Possibly.
Nobody's put that forward yet, have they?
That would be a beast.
Certainly would.
But, no, yes, people have said that it was probably just an escaped eagle owl, which are like really big, with a wingspan of nearly 6 feet. Which is a pretty big.
The oldest daughter was that June. The oldest daughter. She did a drawing of the.
But I'd also read that they'd read a pamphlet a couple of days before.
Oh, so they were influenced.
Yeah.
So I read a pamphlet. Disappointing.
What was the pamphlet about?
STDs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The only pamphlet you're out here.
Well, if you've got
or gum disease.
Burning sensation. Turns out I had a bit of sheep dip in my knob.
Are we going bollocks on the owl man?
Sorry, I'm joking.
Yes, bollocks.
Bollocks. Mm. Massive pair of bollocks. Bull's bollocks.
It's more likely to be Condor Man than the Owl Man.
Have we got any more at Beast, or is that...
Yeah, we've got the Black Shuck.
Black Shuck,
who appears in a Darkness song, I believe.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck.
Now, the Black Shuck is said to be one of the most oldest phantoms of Great Britain.
Ooh.
Shuck deriving from the Anglo-Saxon word of sucker, meaning demon or devil.
Sucker?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Black
Shuck. Yo, you looking at me, sucker?
It's simple.
Skooker.
Black Shuck, Old Shuck, Old Shock, or simply Shuck are all variations on the name given to the dog.
Shook me all night long.
Which is said to run the coastline and the countryside of East Anglia. Which explains why the Darkness wrote a song, because that's where they're from.
Mm. The Black Shuck is supposed to be a huge dog with blazing red eyes, and it would prowl the coastal paths of Norfolk. For she'd hear the thud of its footsteps, and the gathering of darkness in the corner of your eye. And then it's claimed that if this does happen, you should never turn. Because if you look the beast wild in your eye, you'll die within 12 months.
Oh, so it's cursed.
Oh, God, you'll die. Yeah, but... That's a bit like the Pendle Witches.
But
you'll die within
this is really interesting
12 now. Months.
This is really interesting now, because I was wondering whether... The actual, you know, the legend has outgrown the beast.
Yeah.
That's where the dying within 12 months comes from. Because, I mean, there's earlier tales of the Black Shuck that it killed parishioners at a church in 1577.
Yeah, but you can't brush over that, because may I just say...
You may, sir.
That the Black Shuck in 1577... As Christopher said, it appeared in two churches within a very short time of each other.
So it does not fear God?
No.
Does it?
It appeared in Bungay and Blythburgh churches.
Bungay.
A strange and terrible wonder wrought very late in the parish church of Bungay, a town of no great distance from the city of Norwich. And it came in and it killed like 20 people.
Really?
Yeah.
It killed them all.
It ran up the nave past a large congregation.
Well, not at all.
Killing a man and a boy. And it caused the church steeple to collapse through the roof.
That's some fucking chaos right there.
Steeples I am a dog person, though, so I'd much rather meet this than the beast of Bob.
Dogs.
And?
I don't like animals, full stop.
I love a dog.
If you go to the church
if
you go to the church at Blythburgh, you can see the scorch marks on the north door, which Black Shuck left in 1577.
Wow.
To this day.
Wow. Wow.
And dogs are better than cats.
Wow.
Aren't dogs better than cats?
Wow.
So, go on, back to this beast of Black Shuck.
Yeah.
Is that all you've got?
Girlfriend.
That's not the magic words. Name the film. Anybody who can name the film wins a sticker.
We've got...
It's not the magic words.
We've got Penny Morto's stickers.
Yes, we have. If you would like one, actually, just...
I'm holding one up to the microphone now, listeners.
Send us a Facebook message.
He really is as well. Sorry about that.
Send us a Facebook message or something with your address and we'll send you one.
Yeah.
You can have one.
They're very good quality.
We're bringing back the early 2000s, late 90s tradition of sticking radio station stickers in your car. Yada, yada.
So what happened between 1577 and today?
Jesus,
today,
Paul.
Well, the big news is, this is where I was saying the divide from the legend and reality, is in the 15th of May 2014, not that long ago... archaeologists, just a few miles from the church, the said church, that the steeple fell off, unearthed the remains of a 7-foot dog.
Yeah. I'm with you there, brother.
Weighing how many stone?
They said that it was...
Was this just the skeletal remains?
Yeah. They said that the skeletal remains found by archaeologists at Leaston Abbey in Suffolk belonged to a male dog standing 7 feet tall and weighing £200.
£200?
£200.
What's that in store?
I know, I'm not very good with pounds.
No.
Shall I get my calculator?
About? Yeah. No, don't get a calculator. Let's just...
Right, well, I'm going to just verify.
I would say it's about...
Fuck the Yanks. What is it?
It's about £10. It's about £10. Motherfucker.
It's actually £14.
That's heavier than me.
It's about £10.
It's £14 at £3 approximately, if my calculator is accurate.
That is a big dog.
So.
That is huge. That's
which
like,
is compelling evidence.
That's like two skinny Christina Aguilera.
Do you know what we could do? Do you know what we could do? Can we just bring in our in-house dog expert?
Sit down.
So here we have our in-house dog expert.
A veterinary expert.
A veterinary expert.
Sit down,
Hi,
Rose.
Rosemary.
Hi.
She got her qualifications from the internet, which is a highly modern mode of getting your qualifications.
I'm so excited to have a guest on.
Keep it down, keep it down.
Okay, no, it's so, totally cool. We're used to it.
Yeah, we're so used to it.
So how big would be... A 14-stone dog, have you ever seen one?
No.
What's the average weight of a dog that will come into your vet?
20 kilos.
Oh, tell me that
in simpleton sense.
A border collie.
But how
many stone is that?
How many stone is it?
About 4 stone.
The biggest dog you've ever seen.
In weight?
Is it 2.2
kilos?
Which is
what? Is that 2.2 pounds to
2.2, so 160 pounds. So £40 shy of
the black shuck.
The black shuck skeletal remains.
What is the tallest dog you've ever seen on its hind legs?
No, not on its hind legs. You measure a dog to the shoulder.
How do you measure a dog?
I don't know.
You don't know? You're a barrenhouse expert.
We brought you in especially.
If you was to say a dog was 3 foot, what would that
That'd be normal.
From foot to head or from arse end to nose?
It depends whether you say 3 foot tall or 3 foot long.
It was 7 feet tall.
The report says a male dog standing at 7 feet tall.
I'd measure that to its head.
To a head or shoulder.
What, from foot to head?
Well, no, because...
Or arse end to head?
No, foot.
Foot to head. Foot to top.
That's
to
fucking
head.
Massive!
Yeah, he's massive.
Yeah, that's like 2 foot taller than me. That's insanely tall. How big is a Great Dane? Is that like the biggest dog?
I'll tell you what, this expert ain't much caught.
For a big.
If you get any interference, it's Rosemary's cat that's playing with the blinds.
Go and give it a cat.
I'll go and get the cat.
So you've never had a 14-stone dog?
No.
You've never had a 7 foot tall dog?
Definitely.
At the head or the shoulder?
No.
So we can safely say...
That would be classed as a horse.
We can safely say...
So it's a dog as big as a horse. Maybe it was a horse.
Our expert's analysis...
Yeah.
...that such a beast is not really going to exist.
No. You've never seen one. You never neutered one.
No, definitely not. There's not one in the Bolton area.
London area? London studios?
Yeah. In the London area.
In the London area.
They would have had a big chopper. It just took some neutering.
Word.
Balls.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think that's quite conclusive then.
That's been our veterinary expert.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Oh, that was nice.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Well, if you do want to have a guest spot on the Penny Marto's podcast, if you've got absolutely no real knowledge of your specialist subject, then please get in touch and we'll be delighted to have you on.
So the fucking buck fuck shuck.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What's it called?
Oh, the black shuck.
The black shuck.
Is it real?
Do you know what? It's the first one that we've had some actual skeletal evidence of.
Paul, do not mention the Loch Ness Monster.
They were not from a rug.
Paul's got his hand
Do you know what we haven't mentioned, which I really wanted to mention, was the Essex lion. But we haven't
got
time.
Paul, what do you want to say?
Oh, what do you want?
I think that the Black Shuck is real.
I think what would be nice if we came back to this topic and did maybe like Beasts of the World, like we can get more into it. We'll probably come back to this topic.
I mean, America's got good beasts. Eastern Europe has got some.
Asia's got to have some great
beasts.
I'll get my Don Jolly book out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're into your horror films, can I recommend Cat People, which is from the 40s. I can't really remember the year specifically. That's a really good film. And also...
You're not Mark flipping Commode.
I know I'm not.
Or James King.
Mark Commode.
Unfortunate surname.
He gets a lot better... he gets higher up the podcast charts than us.
Boo. Yeah, but he's been at it for years.
Yeah. Have you seen Wolf Creek?
I've not seen Wolf Creek. I am meaning to watch it.
Is Wolf Creek, it sounds like something that teenage girls might rub themselves up against.
No, not really.
Don't understand that. Also, The Uncanny, like 1977, with Peter Cushing, who's a fantastic actor. That's a really good film about cats.
I watched that the other day.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It's really good.
That's uncanny.
I watched a documentary that was made in 1976 about the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, yes.
It went on for an hour and a half.
Bit like you.
Very informative.
It went on and on. Right, well, I think we've brushed it all up now, haven't we?
I think we have.
I think we can safely say...
The majority of them were bullshit.
We've covered that topic.
All bollocks.
Yeah, pretty much, apart from the Black Shuck.
Yeah, and the Loch Ness Monster.
Search the Penny Marthouse on Facebook, at Penny Marthouse on Twitter, thepennymarthouse@gmail.com. Get in touch if you want a sticker.
And if you do like
story.
If you do like the podcast, please review us on iTunes.
Oh yeah, rate and review us on iTunes.
Oh my god, how desperate do we sound?
Bloody, they're listening.
Keep it undercover. Keep it underground.
Yeah, we don't care about your reviews.
We're not in it for the money.
We're not here for the yeah, just
we don't want the plaudits.
We're all about the art.
We don't want a Sony radio award. Or maybe we do. Help.
Very good.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.
See ya. Oh my god, a massive cat!